Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller. We'll be with you live for the second hour of the National Intel Report on this 23rd day of January 2006. And I'd like to thank Jeff for sitting in. There's not enough time in the day sometimes to have him come up and do his thing and let people know how important it is to own gold and silver. The fix is in, ladies and gentlemen. The information that I've been watching here, even we're getting utterances out of the White House that, this could be the blowout year for our economy. You'll listen to financial news shows, and they'll tell you that everything is just fine. The unemployment rate's at 5%. Well, Ford comes out this morning with his press releases and news stories about how they're going to lay off 30,000 people plus 4,000 or 5,000 white-collared people. And they're going to make less profitable vehicles. Their vehicle sales are down, I guess, U.S. About 1 million units. And we're going to do everything that we can possibly do to restructure our company. And we're going to offer discounts on cars, all of which says to me that they're in desperation mode. We're going to stop making the units that are paying us more dollars for producing that unit. And then we're going to have fire sales on the cars that we're building right now and then future cars. It's ironic that Ford, like General Motors Corporation, GMAC, they make more money off of financing the stuff that they build than actually building it itself. Well, be that as it may, the economic indicators are not really good. I was kind of fascinated. You know, folks, sometimes I really am proud to be able to do what we do here at this network, but just sometimes you just got to say, what? There's a gentleman that has claimed that he's been in support of my endeavors for a number of years, and I just happened to be talking to somebody yesterday. Well, he's been going elsewhere to buy his gold and silver. and I guess that's fine. I mean, this is a free country. But if you're going to be in support of the network, why the heck are you shopping somebody else that charges you more? I could not understand it. By the way, Tom, the books you've sent me, I'm going to be sending them back to you. Because obviously, your money's not good here at all. Okay, so... just suffice it to say, folks, if you want the network to hang around, shop our products, shop our advertisers, take advantage of the gold and silver that we offer you, 10% or less on every deal, in stone, in writing, if you so want it. But if you're a careful shopper, rather than falling for just a lot of claptrap and a good sales pitch, well, buyer beware.
You may really like the person that you're dealing with and talking to on the other end of the phone, and,
you know, but that guy wouldn't sell you silver before. Because why? Because,
well, I couldn't make any damn money off of it, John, so therefore I'm not going to do it.
Well, that's the same guy that worked here that stole the client list and has been mailing people out. So here's my bottom line. If you don't want to support the network, that's fine. Quit listening to it. Quit being a freebie. Quit riding on somebody else's coattails. Like any commercial enterprise, it takes money to run it. You don't do the business here, we can't continue business on our end. It's that simple. End of that story. Into some news of the day right after this. I'm done whining.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years, and gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
This is Christine with another Bring 'Em Home message. Have we as Americans had enough yet? With the recent crisis in New Orleans and the southern Gulf Coast, death and destruction have been visited upon Americans once again. The government's response has been to bring foreign troops onto America's land. Federal and foreign troops now control the region, while the National Guardsmen are away, entangled in foreign wars, unable to protect their homes and families. The New World Order has reached its long-planned objective, to secure American troops on foreign soil and foreign troops on American soil. Let's get these foreign troops out and bring our American troops home now. Help us make the public aware of this dire situation by displaying on your cars our Bring 'Em Home magnetic ribbons or our new Bring 'Em Home bumper stickers. To place your orders, call 877-605-9200 or go to rbnlive.com or bringemhome.org.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Program note for this week, Bill Sardi will be with me tomorrow, the 24th. On the 25th, Thomas Smith on the diabetes epidemic that we're having in this country, and there are reasons for it. You want to stay tuned for that one. On Thursdays, I do believe we can pull this thing off. Desi Anders and Ralph Winterode will be on the program Thursday. And on Friday, David Ray Griffith, I'll have him for the hour. And then don't forget this one, because here's a guy that has stepped out of the pharmaceutical, how should we call this, pulpit. D. James Kennedy, Dr. Kennedy, will be with me on Wednesday. That will be February 1st. So mark that down. You're going to want to hear this guy. He can only spend a half hour with us, but folks, he's on about 200 radio stations, and he has his TV ministry, and he's been speaking the truth. This is what all these people that are supposedly men of God are supposed to be doing. Well, 99.99% of them are not, because a lot of them buy into the government thing or 501c3, and we can't get involved in political issues. Well, at any rate, tune in for that program. I guarantee you that's going to be interesting. We've had Webster Tarpley on this program before, and I'm doing some web searching on international terrorism, and what pops up is a story by General Leonid. And he calls himself Ivashov, Leonid Ivashov, and he is a Russian general. Well, in this picture that popped up with this story, There's none other than Webster Tarpley parked right next to him, and he was at this thing. Both of them were at the Axis for Peace conference in 2005 in Brussels, Belgium. So I'm looking at this story. So we made our initial contacts. We've talked to Webster Tarpley. He said, go. Yeah, I'll get a hold of this guy. He speaks Russian. I speak a little pidgin Russian. But this will give me a good excuse for contacting him. We're going to get this guy on the air, the ex-general, the Russian general, but we're going to need an interpreter. So anybody out there in radio land out there that speaks fluent Russian, give us a call here at the network. Probably have to end up going to a university or something to actually get an interpreter online. But hey, you never know. There could be somebody out in this listening audience that speaks fluent Russian, and he could serve as interpreter on this interview. So give us a call if you have those talents. At any rate, he says that international terrorism does not exist. General Leonid, and I'll get this right, Abashov was the chief of staff of the Russian armed forces when, on September 11, 2001, attacks took place. This military man, who lived the events from inside, offers an analysis which is very different than that of the American colleagues. As he did during the Axis for Peace in 2005 conference, he now explains that international terrorism does not exist and that the September 11th attacks were the result of a setup. We are seeing a manipulation by the big powers. This terrorism would not exist without them. He affirms that instead of faking a world war on terror, the best way to reduce that kind of attacks is through respect for international law and peaceful cooperation among countries and their citizens. Now, as the current, he says, as the current international situation shows, terrorism emerges where contradiction aggravate, where there is a change of social relations or a change of regime, where there is political, economic, or social instability, where there is moral decadence, where cynicism and nihilism triumph, and where vice is legalized and where crime spreads. Yeah, he just described America. In its globalization, what creates the conditions for this emergence of these extremely dangerous phenomena? It is in this context that the New World geostrategic map is being designed, that the resources of the planet are being redistributed, that borders are disappearing, that international law is being torn into pieces, that cultural identities are being erased, that spiritual life becomes impoverished. The analysis of the essence of this globalization process, the military and the political doctrines of the United States and other countries, shows that terrorism contributes to world dominance and the submissiveness of states to a global oligarchy. Now, this means that terrorism is not something independent of world politics, but simply an instrument, a means to install a unipolar world that with a sole world headquarters, a pretext to erase national borders and to establish the rule of a new world elite. It is precisely this elite that constitutes the key element of world terrorism, its ideologist, its godfather. The main target of the world elite is the historical, cultural, traditional, and natural reality, the existing system of relations among states, the world national and state order of human civilization, and national identity. Today's international terrorism is a phenomenon that combines the use of their terror by state and non-state political structures as a means to attain their political objectives through people's intimidation, psychological and social destabilizations, and elimination of resistance from power organizations and the creation of appropriate conditions for the manipulation of the country's policy and the behavior of the people. Terrorism is the weapon used in a new type of war. At the same time, international terrorism, in complicity with the media, becomes the manager of global processes. It is precisely the symbiosis between media and terror which allows modifying international politics and exiting reality. In this context, if we analyze what happened on September 11, 2001, in the United States, we can arrive at the following conclusions. One, the organizers of those attacks were the political and business circles interested in destabilizing the world order and who had the means necessary to finance the operation. Does this sound like bin Laden to you? Don't think so. Not that sophisticated. The political conception of this action matured there where tensions emerge in the administration of financial and other types of resources. We have to look for reasons of the attacks in the coincidence of interest of the big capital at global and transnational levels in the circles that were not satisfied with the rhythm of the globalization process or its direction. In other words, it wasn't moving fast enough. We need a lightning rod. Unlike traditional wars, whose conception is determined by generals and politicians, the oligarchs and politicians submitted to the former were the ones who did it this time. Number two, he makes this point, only secret services and their current chiefs, or those retired but still having influence inside the state organizations, have the ability to plan, organize, and conduct an operation of such magnitude. Generally, secret services create, finance, and control extremist organizations. Without the support of secret services, these organizations cannot exist, let alone carry out operations of such magnitude inside countries so well protected. Planning and carrying out an operation of this scale is extremely complex. And again, Osama bin Laden did this. Al-Qaeda did this. Think about this again, folks. Now, here's a Russian general from the inside that was looking at this from the inside. I'll continue. His third point, Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda cannot be the organizers nor the performers of September 11th attacks. They do not have the necessary organization, resources, or leaders. Thus, a team of professionals had to be created, and the Arab kamikazes are just extras to mask the operation. The September 11th operation modified the course of events in this world and the direction chosen by transnational mafias and international oligarchs, that is, those who hope to control the planet's natural resources, the world's information network, and the financial flows. This operation also favored the U.S. economic and political elite that also seek world dominance. The use of the term international terrorism has the following goals: hiding the real objectives of forces deployed all over the world in the struggle for dominance and control, turning the people's demands to a struggle of undefined goals against an invisible enemy, destroying basic international norms and changing concepts such as aggression, state terror, dictatorship, or movement of national liberations, depriving people of their legitimate right to fight against aggressions and to reject the work of foreign intelligence services, establishing the principles of renunciation to national interest, transforming objectives in the military field by giving priority to the war on terror, violating the logic of military alliances to the detriment of a joint defense and to favor the anti-terrorist coalition, solving economic problems through the tough military rule using the war on terror as a pretext. In order to fight in an efficient way against international terrorism, it is necessary to take the following steps: to confirm before the UN General Assembly the principles of the UN Charter and the international law of principles that all states are obliged to respect; to create a geostrategic organization, perhaps inspired by the cooperation organization of Shanghai, comprised of Russia, China, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan, and Tajikistan, with a set of values different to that of the Atlantis, he calls them, to design a strategy of development of states, a system of international security, another financial and economic model, which he says which would mean that the world would again rest on two pillars, to associate under the United Nations the scientific elites in the design and promotion of the philosophical concepts of the human being of the 21st century, to organize the interaction of all religious denominations in the world on behalf of the stability of humanity's development, security, and mutual support. Now, who is this general? Leonid Ivashov. He's the vice president of the Academy on Geopolitical Affairs. He's the chief of the Department of General Affairs in the Soviet Union's Ministry of Defense, Secretary Council of the Defense Ministers of the Community of Independent States, chief of the Military Cooperation Department at the Russian Federation's Ministry of Defense, and the Joint Chief of Staff of the Russian Armies. And we're going to try to get this guy on the air. And Webster Tarpley knows a lot about this, and he may come up on the interim to speak more about it. but we're going to get this general on the air with an interpreter so he can tell you his story from his point of view.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
The future of health and wellness is here in a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
In a minute here, let me take a call or two. In a minute, I will juxtapose what this General Ivashov has just said about the war on terror. And we'll look at slouching toward the global enslavement, Joan Vion's latest piece about sustainable development, Agenda 21, and the whole nine yards. And you can see where the two actually dovetail with each other. So keep in mind what the General Ivashov had to say. And when I do this piece on Joan Vion, you'll see the interconnectivity of them both. It's a grand plan, folks, and it's going on right underneath our nose. And, of course, 90% of the American people don't have a clue. They're just out there grousing about high gas prices at the pump and, geez, I don't know about my job and the economy's really not that good and I'm really downtrodden. Well, how about getting educated, okay? How about finding out who's pushing your buttons and for what reasons? Because this is for the whole ball of wax, folks. This is for the whole planet here. This is what they're doing. They're setting up their global governance scheme, of which Joan even talks about that. That's how they like to call it global governance. And I started using that months ago because that's the new insider term. As Kofi Annan said a couple of years ago, the New World Disorder. We don't like the New World Order terms because it's in disorder. In other words, he was complaining that, well, being chief of the UN, we're just not given enough power and things aren't moving quickly enough here for us to really take over. Paul in Florida. Hello, Paul.
Hey there. I'm down here in beautiful, sunny, 85-degree Fort Lauderdale.
Well, bless your heart. It's only 63 up here today in Texas.
That's not bad. That's comfortable. But anyway, the reason I called was I just want to throw this out to your audience, just to maybe somebody come up with a program for this or something. I heard that before 9/11 occurred, there was an unusually large amount of short interest in United and American Airlines.
Yep, called puts.
Yep, calls and puts.
Yep.
If someone out there listening right now is a stockbroker, or they're a computer programmer, or someone who could maybe access this information, I think a good bellwether for the next attack would be that if someone could see an anomalous amount in the put call ratio and in short interest, specifically in certain stocks, that might even give you a location. Because it seems to me that the people who orchestrate these things just can't resist making a buck off it.
No, I understand. And, you know, we've been talking a lot about this lately, Paul, that there is a distinct possibility, because we've been getting utterances out of the White House about possibly severe financial problems here. Now, evidently, the stock market's not reacting to this because...
Well, that's being propped up, I think. Somebody's goosing that with a lot of cash.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely they are. It's called the Plunge Protection Team. That's an actual physical entity comprised of a group of individuals that just inject money into the stock market when necessary to give the illusion that everything is, well, okay. Because if you notice, what we're not having anymore are these 200-300-point swings in the markets.
Right. It seems to be in a trading range, and that's about it.
There you go.
I think it was up about 20-something points today. The NASDAQ moved a little bit. It was nothing to write home about.
Yeah, I think after Japan's market last week took a major, major dive.
Yeah, I expected, if things were being, if there was no interference in it, with this announcement with Ford today, I would have thought that the market would have taken a dive.
But you know what they'll come back and tell you? Oh, well, the stockholders of the company are real happy because that means the company is moving back toward productivity and profitability, which means that we'll get higher dividends off of our stocks.
Oh, yeah, they can always come up with some BS answer for anything, given enough time.
Sure.
But I should just, to throw it out there to somebody if they could, maybe make a chart on a computer of a put call ratio and short interest or something like that. Maybe we could...
Indicating prior knowledge.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. I don't have a computer and I'm not even a programmer, but if somebody out there wants to give it a shot, that might be a good bellwether as to, approximately when something big is coming.
Right. Follow the money. Hey, thanks for your call, Paul.
Okay, thank you, John.
Appreciate
Bye-bye.
It. Roger in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, thanks, John.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, I expect that you'll, if that wasn't already a topic, was, as I had heard, that D. James Kennedy supposedly came out with a video on the 501c3ification of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all just one little snippet I heard like a year ago.
This man, he knows what's going on, and I have been watching his Sunday morning broadcast. It's on satellite, and we get it at 9 a.m. in the morning on Sundays, and I'll tell you what. If you are a member of his church or you're watching any of his presentations on satellite and cable, you walk away with the very distinct, because you are in the loop, I'm in the loop, this audience is in the loop. Once you hear what this man is talking about, he's nailing everything right on down the line.
Yeah. Oh, he is. Now, a lot of his shows happen to be maybe even 2 year old or so reruns, but they're often quite good, as he said.
Mm-hmm.
And, lastly, I wasn't quite happy when I left off with your guest Mr. Gregory, and a week or so ago when about the tariffs. I mean, like, we're only going to have something like 0.5% tariffs, and that's going to take us to the promised land.
You mean the shill for globalism that I had on the air?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I don't, from the earliest times, didn't we often have 25 to 40% tariffs? Not necessarily on everything, but...
Yeah, hang on a second. We got to take a break. I'll finish up with your call and then into more information.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
Hi, this is John Statman, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Most Americans want our government to control our borders, especially since 9/11. But amazingly, some political leaders want to do away with borders entirely, whether the American people agree or not. And they have a serious plan for accomplishing their aims while deceiving the public. It's called the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA, a huge power grab. If Congress approves the FTAA, our nation will be pushed down the same path that produced the European Union. There will be no more illegal immigration because there will be no enforcement of borders. Americans will lose control of their destiny as regional bureaucrats from corrupt political systems decide our future. Sound incredible? Check out the facts for yourself. Go to stoptheftaa.org. Then tell Congress you want a better future for America. That's stoptheftaa.org.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
There's a reason why I run those FTA ads non-gratis on this network, ladies and gentlemen, because that's what the creatures that be want to see instilled in all of us. All this wonderful dream of a peaceful world government. I'll get into John Vion's information here in a minute. Roger, you wanted to finish up?
Yeah, but I was spitting mad at myself. I tried calling in too late on that Webster or Gregory show. I mean, and, you know, it was even Pat Buchanan himself, I think, mentioned that in the early stages of the Republic, there was 25% to 40% tariffs, and I was surprised they were that high. But even still, they wouldn't have to be near that high. Now, the founders' view, on the other hand, of course, was that the tariffs, right out of the Federalist Papers, were that the tariffs were a mild protectionism, but not expressly so, and self-limiting. You couldn't, of course, raise the tariffs but so high for revenue purposes without decreasing the amount of money collected.
Sure. Yeah, if you put a too high of a tax on it, there goes your market. You don't have the product to sell to people. Nobody's going to buy it.
So it's like the Laffer curve, similar to that, where diminishing returns if you raise the rates too high. But that self-limiting protection would probably be more than enough to restore our industry. And since then, this is what I didn't get about Lou Rockwell. And he was on again with Janet Karpinski on Saturday, and I missed that till the end. But he makes some argument which I'd hoped to question. I should read his papers.
You mean Kutowski? Because we don't have a Karpinski on.
I'm sorry, I get them all screwed up.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah. Anyway, the last show they're on Saturday night, and he makes an argument, I guess, that somehow if we raise tariffs, I don't know if he cast it as for protection or for revenue, but that this is going to lead to war with China, and I didn't find that all that.
It's interesting. Robust. It's interesting. I've been reading some statements from Senator Joseph Lieberman. On this deal, and John McCain, isn't it funny how this stuff kind of crosses the aisle in Washington, D.C., but he's saying, along with Senator McCain, that, we're going to proceed, and if there's going to be any attacks in Iran, we're not going to let a front dummy do it. In other words, he was referring to Israel, because Israel doesn't have the technology or the capability to do what we need to do. And I'm thinking to myself, geez, Joe, you're either out of the loop or you're flat out lying. Well, it's the latter, not the former. But he mentioned China in as much that it would have ramifications, and I surmise that he was hinting at tariffs to do something about this trade imbalance, because quite frankly, they've got carte blanche on this economy. And that would be one way. And you're exactly right when you say that this would restore the incentive for industry to reindustrialize the United States. Because why would people be interested in reindustrializing the United States when they're paying workers a living wage? The materials are more expensive to produce and put on the market, but we know how that one worked, and it successfully built this country. But we're not going to go in there and tinker with that, because why would you do that when you can make a product, ship it into the United States, have it cheaper than it can be done here, and everybody's happy? You still get your materials, you still get your goods, so what are you belly aching about?
Yeah, and of course you could be sure that when Joe Liberalman talks like that, that he doesn't mean it at all. That's just sort of a populist earwash. God bless you.
All right, thanks. Appreciate your call. Searching the internet, I come up with all sorts of good stories, folks, and sometimes they don't always dovetail into each other. But as I said prior to the bottom of the hour break, this international terrorism that this general says does not exist and gave his examples why. Then you look at, well, the global governance scheme to pull us all together, to trade with each other, to limit wars, and to have world peace and economic stability. What a utopian design. Joan Vion says, last year was another instrumental year in the advance of world government. While most commentators will concentrate on popularized events, many will not discuss the latest steps taken to cement the final touches to world government structure that has been in the making for the last 150 years or so. You see, folks, a long time ago, somebody approached me, and they didn't disagree with anything that I had to say, except my premise was wrong. This wasn't a strategy and a plan. It was by happenstance and coincidence that I have to adopt the accidental view of history. Those were the words that they spoke to me. The boys, we sent them back packing to New York, by the way. She says, in order to understand the importance of 2005's global achievements and the march towards global governance, which is integration of the world's people, countries, philosophies, we must very briefly visit the past. She says, let us recount the 1913 birth of the U.S. tax code. Over the last 92 years, the burden of taxation has been shifted from the highest income tax to the middle class, as income tax rates under Ronald Reagan dropped from 60% to 35%. That same year, the Federal Reserve Act was passed. What this meant is that the private corporation, the Federal Reserve, now manages the monetary and financial system of the United States of America. As such, she says, they have greater power than our president and Congress, as they control the banking systems and the country's business cycles. You will remember that the purpose of the Federal Reserve was to eliminate the ups and downs of the business cycles. However, the country has not experienced that, as it appears that the Fed has embraced Joseph Sumpter's theory
of Creative Destruction, which is based on boom or bust business cycles. Joseph Schumpeter, by the way, is Capitalism, Socialism, and Democracy. He wrote the book in 1942 and said that on page 83 of his book. Will the American people ever figure out that the reason why we cannot forgive ourselves the interest on the national debt is because we owe it to private corporations, and they want the interest which Congress originally agreed to when they passed the Federal Reserve Act? If you want to know where they get their money to lend to our government, Jones says, they print it. Beginning in 1944, the walls between the nation states began to fall as a new international infrastructure was set in place above nation states. One fine example of this was the United States signing the 1947, the General Agreement on Trade and Tariffs, which became the World Trade Organization in 1994. With the birth of the International Monetary Fund / World Bank, the financial and economic barriers fell. With the birth of the United Nations, the political barriers fell. With the birth of the World Trade Organization, the trade barriers fell. With the birth of the International Criminal Court, the legal barriers fell. As a result of 9/11, military and intelligence barriers fell between the nation states. Thus, today, we are in a borderless world. In 1971, President Richard Nixon issued Executive Order 11647, which divided the United States into 10 regions, each with its own administrator, who then reports directly to the president. Described as metro government or regional government, it decreases the lines of power and authority, which centralizes all the decision-making in the White House. Today, metro or regional government is alive and well, and it's being given greater position not only in all of the new rebuilding of the new development plans being made public by Mississippi and New Orleans, but with many states trying to pass laws to consolidate the local, county, and village levels of government. Furthermore, our government has circumvented the power of the states by now taking the funds the states send them and redistributing them to the metro or regional government instead. Many of the infrastructure needs, such as transportation, waste, water, etc., are all on a regional basis. In 1990, you remember the Sustainable Prince, Prince Charles. Prince of Wales put together a new organization, the Prince of Wales International Business Leaders Forum, with the purpose of setting up private-public partnerships, or PPPs if you prefer, between governments, business, and non-governmental organizations. Basically, public-private partnerships provide a way for corporations to become co-managers with government regarding the governance of the country. The prince admitted in a speech while he was in the United States that he met with UN Secretary General Kofi Annan to see if business and government could work together. What came out of their discussions was the UN Global Compact. Today, thousands of public-private partnerships are operating worldwide. They are now commonplace. They include partnerships for schools, sewer systems, transportation, water, utilities, etc. Toll roads, folks, in Texas? That's right. Just saw a piece in the Austin Un-American Statesman, and the writer said anything but just that. That's why I have so little respect, and I know some of you guys down there at the Austin Un-American Statesman listen to this program. Shame on you clowns. Shame on you. At any rate, getting back to this, today thousands of public-private partnerships, as I said, are operating worldwide. In fact, the proposed Trans-Texas Corridor will be a PPP at the end of 2002 World Summit for Sustainable Development. Over 250 triple Ps were formed. That activity was unprecedented. One is the Congo Basin Forest Partnership, which involves 14 governments, including the U.S. and 8 African countries, 8 environmental groups like the World Wildlife Fund, along with the American Forest and Paper Association, which represents 200 separate companies. The partnership includes 74 million acres of land in Africa. Furthermore, there are dozens of these types of complex partnerships that the U.S. has entered into that include countries around the world. In 1992, the U.N. held the Real Earth Summit, in which those attending, which numbered less than 30,000, agreed to Agenda 21, which is a complete reordering of the entire planet. It basically elevates the Earth above the value of man, as man's value is dependent on if he or she can produce. It basically says that the Earth's resources need to be counted, controlled,
and monitored for future generations. 15 years later, every country in the world has changed how their government operates as sustainable development is carried out worldwide. One of these treaties encompassed in Agenda 21 is the UN Biological Diversity Treaty, which says man has to be sequestered into growth areas so that the rest of the country can be put back for the purpose of rewilding or allowing animals to roam freely. In 2000, the United Nations was given an overhaul in which more power was given to the Secretary General and the General Assembly. It was also given the ability to have its own rapid defense force. Furthermore, it was given the ability to raise its own finances through various schemes to be determined in the future. Lastly, the UN unveiled the Millennium Development Goals to reduce poverty, hunger, and disease worldwide, which will demand new ways to fund new sources of funds. With this background, we can now understand the current events of 2005. Since 9/11, which tore down the final barriers between the nation states, which were the intelligence and military barriers, the world has entered the finishing stage. By this, we are talking about finding ways to integrate the people of the world so that they are one and feel that they have common concerns or catastrophic occurrences which blend the peoples together as one. The people now have to be brought together as one people. The South Sea tsunami did just that. The outpouring of aid from around the world was unprecedented. Even Presidents Bush and Clinton teamed up to raise monies. Schools, churches, the Boy Scouts, department stores, football teams, singers, actors, the famous people from across the U.S. raised monies. The U.S. gave $1 billion in gifts and donations alone. At the end of 2005, World Economic Forum, Sharon Stone put up $10,000 and challenged attendees to give money for the tsunami. Within minutes, she raised $1 million. Interestingly enough, a number of the corporations of the Global Compact were there, even before governments could get aid to the devastated areas. This global outpouring of compassion helped to solidify the people of the world. Then Hurricane Katrina and Rita continued the compassionate response that only comes from the most sacred place a person has, the heart. Now it was time for other countries to come to the aid of America. Since there are no longer any barriers between nation states, that means the poor, starving, and diseased of the world are everyone's responsibility, or so they would have us to believe. The Fabian Socialist would call this a transfer of wealth. At the 2004 Group of Eight meeting in Sea Island, Georgia, and then at the 2005 World Economic Forum in January, French President Jacques Chirac called for a global tax for the poor. In Davos, he specified a tax on airline tickets. At the July 2005 Group of Eight meeting in Scotland, it was high on the agenda for the heads of state, with the French specifying the parameters. When I asked Chirac if there would be any other kinds of global taxes, if this was successful, he told me that they had many other types planned. In fact, right before Christmas, the French government passed a levy tax on airline tickets to generate $236 million a year for health programs aimed at helping the world's poorest countries. Of course, this measure was applauded by the United Nations as a creative way of raising money. Perhaps I should mention that this is the first time since Roman Empire, in the time of the birth of Jesus, that a global tax had been passed. With regard to regionalism, while the U.S. has been divided up nationally, we are also part of the hemispheric free trade bloc known as the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or the FTAA. While the FTAA will involve all 34 countries in this hemisphere, it is being implemented gradually. The North American Free Trade Area, NAFTA, was passed in 1994, and in 2005, the Central American Free Trade Agreement, or CAFTA, was passed. Because of the opposition to this bill, Bush made a special trip to Capitol Hill, where he twisted arms by granting over 6,000 pork barrel promises, which were funded by the transportation bill passed before the summer recess. Now, it should be noted that any type of regional government, either within the U.S. or within the hemisphere, is government by appointed officials and not elected officials. Just as the U.N. system is based on appointed officials, so too is regional government, which is the extension of the U.N. form of government. In other words, the ability of the people to have a say will not be through elected officials, but by appointed officials. In our global neighborhood, the Commission on Global Governance in 1995 wrote this: the UN must prepare for a time when regionalism becomes more ascendant worldwide and even help the process. Now, this brings us to a new actors that are now involved in governance. The globalists do not like to refer to the new structure which is being birthed in the world as world government. Instead, they prefer to call it global governance. This term refers to all the new actors that are making their views known. In the past, at the United Nations General Assembly, only member states made speeches during General Assembly. But because of the rise of corporations through the Prince of Wales Business Leaders Forum, cut that break, producer. The International Chamber of Commerce and other international groups, business, and non-governmental organizations now give presentations. Also, both of these groups freely lobby at the UN, at global conferences, and nationally. Foundations have long been the actor on the international stage. Of the top 50 foundations in the United States in 2003, the Ford Foundation ranks number 2 in size at $10.6 billion, behind the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation at $26.8 billion. The total yearly giving of the top 50 foundations is well over $133 billion. Foundations play a very major role today in making and changing society and values. Renee Wormser wrote in 1958, she said, "The influence of the foundation complex in internationalism has reached far into government, into policy making circles of Congress, and into the State Department. This has been affected through the pressure of public opinion mobilized by instruments of the foundations." She has here in parentheses, "Foundations, Their Power and Influence." That was the name of the book. The question asked by the Rees Committee, which delved into the power of foundations, was, to what extent, if any, are the funds of a large foundations aiding and abetting Marxist tendencies in the United States and weakening the love for which every American should have for his way of life? At the heart of Agenda 21 is sustainable development, which supports highest and best use of world's resources, which includes you and me. As a result of Agenda 21, Biological Diversity Treaty, man needs to be sequestered into growth areas. In 1997, the state of Maryland was the first to pass smart growth legislation, which designates areas of growth that a state will allow in order to support those areas with infrastructure. Non-growth areas are those will not be supported by the state with tax dollars for infrastructure. Maryland's smart growth legislation was in effect the passage of the UN Biological Diversity Treaty. In 2005, personal property rights, the cornerstone of American civilization, were dealt a severe blow with the Supreme Court Kelo v. New London. That ruling, which says that the city had the right to use eminent domain to force highest and best use of property that would create jobs and increase revenue for the public good. Around the U.S., the use of eminent domain is gaining popularity. Now everyone's home and property is at risk. In September, Mississippi Governor Haley Barbour brought together a team of 110 urban planners in architecture, regional and community planning, civil and transportation engineering, environmentalism, codes and laws, retail, economics, public process and communications, who came together in vision and planned to rebuild 11 coastal cities and 120 miles of coastal regions. Headed up by Congress for the New Urbanism, they are now in the process of obtaining community agreement for their plans. It should be noted that the new urbanism, which the Congress uses, is basically smart growth or the UN Biological Diversity Treaty. Does this tell you why the rebuilding project in New Orleans is taking so long? Oh, that's right. There's more hands in this pot. There are more views to consider, folks. It's not a matter of going in and picking up the junk and rebuilding the buildings. It's about reinstituting a new structure, of which they are, I don't need to tell you, very, very far behind. Now, this encompasses a return to the town planning principles in practice before the automobile, recycling existing buildings and land where possible, promoting a sense of community, revitalizing historic downtowns and residential neighborhoods, giving people the option of walking, biking, or taking public transportation, high-density building, and sustainable transportation, which is mass transit. By the way, in London, folks, you pay a hefty fine if you drive your car into the city. That's sustainable development in practice right now in London, England. The new urbanism encompasses the sustainable philosophy of highest and best use. Therefore, if there are key neighborhoods that can be rebuilt to attract businesses, hotels, office buildings, convention centers to bring in more tax revenues, those neighborhoods will be subject to eminent domain. The plans drawn up by Congress for the new urbanism also use regional or metro government as well as public-private partnerships. And again, let me point this out about this eminent domain and how the Supreme Court just ruled on this. If you take a look at the sustainable, the UN project here of sustainable environments and so on and so forth, they're looking at this as they only have so much land that they can use. So they've got to move in and do away with the old to put up the new, which generates more money, that's right, for the corporation that's putting it in place. That's what's going on with your eminent domain. Starting to make sense to us all now? You bet it is. It should be noted that at every turn, working behind the scenes is Prince Charles. Not only has he been responsible for the implementation of sustainable development worldwide, the establishment of public-private partnerships, but also has supported the rise of philosophies encompassed in the new urbanism. In this regard, he sent two of his key planners to help rebuild the New South. By the way, to understand smart growth and sustainable development, you must see the video, Liberty or Sustainable Development, of which I have a copy of that, and I've been watching it, and I am just absolutely astounded. This is global governance, folks, and they're going to be telling you what to do, what you can and can't do on property you may own or what we would consider to be fair use or state property. In summary, 2005 moved us closer to world government. There is a continuing revolution over rights, values, property, and form of government. The barriers between the nation states are gone, and in its place is regionalism, supported by public-private partnership. Both advocate a structure change in government, and hence the governance. There are new and powerful players that have been changing society's norms. Transfer of all wealth is now under the guise of disaster relief and airline taxes. In addition, our government is working on an open skies agreement with all the other countries of the world. Currently, they're negotiating with the EU. This means that any airline that we sign the agreement with can fly into U.S. airports, and it means that the U.S. would open up the ability of foreigners to purchase our airline companies. Further, the rights of the individual are now filtered through the lenses of sustainable development's highest and best use. Personal property rights are being diluted as a result of the highest and best use. The bottom line is that a permanent revolution is taking place before our very eyes. Unless you connect the dots, you will not see it or even understand it. It's just going to be a happy, happy world at the hands of people that are not elected. You think you don't get any results, you don't get any representation out of your government right now, folks? Just wait till you have a bunch of unelected bureaucrats telling you what to do and when to do it and how to do it, if they'll even let you do it at all. That'll do it for us today. We'll be back with you tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report. If you want to stay tuned for that, I'm bringing back Bill Sardi for an interview. You don't want to miss that show. He's a very bright man. That'll do it for us today. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.